what's happening in the local body scene? Anything exciting? We were just saying off the air, not much is happening anywhere at the moment.
I think that's a good summary. So shall I go home now?
Well, because you did find some stuff.
Okay.
You want to go? Are you? You bored already?
It might have stopped raining by the time I go if I talk long enough.
True. So, it will have.
Because I was interested to see that regional councils cancelled a couple of meetings. They were supposed to have a strategy and policy meeting and a climate action committee meeting as well. And both those have been cancelled this month and not seen any explanation as to why.
People are sick, maybe?
Could be, or maybe... it seems that councils are not sure what's going on with the government changing things so quickly, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, well, maybe the government.
I'm only guessing.
Maybe the government's rung them up and told them there's no such thing as climate change and just stop that nonsense.
Stop wasting money on climate action committees. Yeah.
That's conjecture. That's not a thing.
It's more a news of what's not happening than what is. District Council is having meetings, but they're calling them workshops and they don't have any agendas or minutes.
What are the workshops about?
The public are allowed to go to them. So if I was really dedicated, I'd be going over to Narua here and sitting in on the meetings and coming back and telling you what was happening.
But you're not that dedicated, John. Yeah. You surprise me.
You need to find somebody more dedicated.
Oh, than you? Well, that would be a big surprise. Do you know what those workshops were on? Just the headline?
As for the last few years, the main emphasis is on what's happening in the north of this district.
Yeah.
So we tend to get forgotten. I noticed there was a mention in the future-proof minutes from the beginning of the month saying that actually there was no funding for that corridor study that we've talked about from time to time.
State Highway 23.
I think, at Raglan, but it didn't specify whether it was the local roads or whether it was State Highway 23. But
so hold on. So back a step. There was an announcement a few weeks ago. Well, someone said there'd be a corridor study, which actually was not about the corridor between Raglan and Hamilton, but was about the roads around Raglan. And now you're saying that there's no funding even for that.
Well, that's what it appears to be saying, but there seems a lot of confusion over this. So maybe we wait and see what's happening and try and talk to the people in the council who know, who I haven't seen for a while, because we haven't had any local meetings.
When's the next community board meeting? Must be coming soon.
It's coming in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, all right, I won't look it up. You already know. Don't know why I thought I was going to do that.
It's going to be at Tiuku.
I've got to get out there. I'm not going to be walking out there.
I suppose the bus runs at reasonable time. It runs at 20 to 2, so you get there for the main meeting, but not for the questions.
That's the most exciting bit, especially with the people of Tiuku. It's their one chance this year to have their say without driving to Raglan. It does seem to make a difference, though. You go to Tiuku and they kind of take note.
Yep, well, I suppose it's something different if it only happens once a year, whereas when it happens every 6 weeks in Raglan, it's more commonplace.
Yeah, although people do come to that often-ish. So you've been looking at Futureproof. Futureproof, folks, is a group of the district councils in the Waikato region who've got together to plan for the future, because what are they saying? They're expecting 30% growth in 30 years in population. Thank you, government.
We don't have natural growth, but we do have lots of people coming into the country. And I suppose at one time or another we've all done that, or our ancestors have.
I don't think, my great-great-grandfather did. I mean, that doesn't feel like an ancestor, because I knew my grandfather and he knew his grandfather. Like, I know people who knew my ancestor who arrived.
If you look at the origins of people in this country, an awful lot of us were born abroad. So, yeah.
Well, technically I was, but that's because my parents were doing their OE. You certainly were. Born and bred, John. And where? I know the country.
I'm from UK.
But, yeah, but which state in the UK? Could I just say that wrong?
Hampshire.
Where's that? In the middle somewhere?
Down on the south coast.
Oh, there you go. Shows how much I know. All right. Enough of Hampshire. So, yeah, so with Future Proof, what can we learn from this agenda that you've found?
Not a lot, I think. But it's very our buses are running slightly more on time. But still more than half of them are running over 5 minutes late. The number of people on the buses is steadily rising, despite only having four a day or two a day at the weekends.
Yeah.
We've got almost as many passengers as Cambridge, even though they've got almost an hourly service. There's a lot more on average, but the most striking thing probably is the high proportion of children that are travelling on Raglan buses. So they take all the kids to a whole variety of Hamilton schools.
Yeah. This is an efficient use of our nation, isn't it? Busing kids around. So our bus service, that's probably why we don't... Like, the patronage levels are similar to Cambridge, but the reality is they're acting as school buses. And so probably the bus people are saying, well, we've got the kids covered and we're not going to really worry that much about the adults because there's not many of them using the bus, apart from that guy, John Lawson, who keeps bugging us.
There's quite a few regular adult passengers I see, so I think but there not are other high, people who are more regular than me.
Not a high proportion, though.
Not high proportion on the morning and afternoon buses, virtually school buses.
Yeah,
but the other two buses have a reasonable number of adult passengers.
We did find out when the State Highway 23 was closed last year that there were people who are definitely using the buses for work because they couldn't get to work because Waikato Regional Council was not able to provide. Once the buses had to take a two-hour trip instead of a one-hour trip from Hamilton to Raglan and back again.
We went down to two buses a day.
Yeah, and so people were having sort of scrabbling around asking on the notice board, can someone take me into Hamilton for work? I can't get there any other way. Or they could get there, but they couldn't get home.
I think they could get there because the school bus gets there for about 8 o'clock, but then the school bus comes back at 20 to 4, so it's an early end for most people's work day.
Yeah, I actually asked the question about that at the community board meeting, but I think it just went in the too hard basket. And it might have been, in all reality, it might have been the fact that the regional council couldn't find drivers anywhere, no matter how much money they had, and they didn't have much money.
Yeah, well, it's been one of the problems, because they've long had a plan to give us an hourly bus service, and there is mention of it again in the 2nd of August agenda, that they have got it up in front of the Waka Kotahi to the government to approve.
Yeah.
And the government has... despite all its other changes, actually put more money into public transport, only just about covering the increase in inflation, but it does slightly more than cover that. So there probably are going to be improvements in transport.
That doesn't sound transport, like... That sounds like not something I'd expect from this government.
And they don't explain really why they're doing things or why they're not doing things. They were being asked this morning, or the Prime Minister was being asked this morning, why they were allowing gas exploration and new permits. And he couldn't really explain, except that we're short of gas at the moment. And the theory is that, his theory seems to be that it's quicker to explore for gas and drill a gas field than it is to put in renewable energy, and I would have thought it was completely the opposite. And he was also being asked why there are resource consents which aren't being taken up by the big energy generators. We know of the wind farm just to the north of us that got a resource consent and then they never went ahead with it. There must be ones like that around the country.
Is it often that when that happens, it's because they're waiting for it to become more profitable, like it's not that viable yet for them?
Well, the explanation the commentators are making at the moment is that it's more profitable not to provide it than it is to provide it, because if you provide lots of energy, then the price will go down.
Oh, dear.
Which is not what you want if you're making a big profit.
And there goes the problem over the last 40 years. Yeah, the private sector is more efficient. Yes, it is more efficient. It's more efficient at creating profits for itself. That's its role in life. Anyway, okay, moving on. We don't plan ahead in this country anymore. We leave it to the market to decide. So that's why electricity prices are higher. That's why we're getting 30% growth in population in the next 30 years. That's why Future Proof is scrabbling around trying to frantically prop up the far north of the district as it grows rapidly, but does nothing for us here in Raglan, even though a percentage of population growth here is quite high. And the council ends up having to do a little side projects, like we're going to have to do a report on what the future roading might look like. We have to do a report on what other infrastructure might look like, but we're not actually going to do a plan for Raglan.
And all the while, the government's also knocking back Māori from the gains that they've made over the last 20 or 30 years and taking those away, like the Māori wards, which we had a discussion on with the radio and a few other people last week. So,
yeah, the thing that surprised me in that discussion actually was the bit that they're undoing. There was a treaty claim that was successfully through and almost signed that they're going to roll back.
Yeah, that's what we were being told, so it's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, they're just going in with a big slasher, and I don't know. It's like an angry person just going around thrashing, breaking things. This is what the government looks like at the moment.
Yeah, and the council's unanimously decided that it backs Māori wards, but for some reason it's also decided that it's not going to do any publicity when it comes to the vote that we're going to have on that.
So that's what you were told, yeah.
It does seem odd that they unanimously support it and think it's a good idea, and it certainly does seem to have worked rather better, and it does produce a fairer representation for Māori, and yet they're not going to campaign. And when you look at the previous results, then they overwhelmingly got overturned by a very small number of voters. Most people didn't vote, but those that did voted against Māori wards.
Well, you've said, the thing that kind of surprises me, you've said that what's the percentage of Māori population?
26%.
26%, so we'll just say a quarter. So they only need a third of Pākehā to support Māori wards, and they would be voted in.
Yeah, which is why it seems to me that it would be good if the council did campaign on it. Because the problem is that most people probably don't know what Māori wards are. It sounds like something special for Māori, so why should Māori have wards and the rest of us don't?
Like, it dismays me when people can't figure this stuff out. I mean, honestly, don't people know what the heck's going on?
No. And that's the problem.
But we know
what, it sounds like a privilege.
But it's like a Māori seat in Parliament. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, because when you've got only 26%, then you don't end up with a majority in any situation if you've got a cross-section of people voting. And we had the situation where for a long time there were no Māori councillors, despite having a quarter of the population, and then we got Lisa, 1 out of 14, and now we've got 5 out of 14, which is slightly over the 26%, but that was only because the mayor stepped down from the council seat she was elected to because she became mayor, and that seat then went to a Māori councillor.
Who was in the general...
So we would otherwise have 4 out of 14.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, it's a little bit of, you know, swings and roundabouts and things come and go. So, but yeah, there are 5. I remember Elisa was saying that when she first arrived at the council, she and someone else did a presentation to the council about, was it about Māori wards? And only two, and then only 2 councillors voted for it.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit the process, though. Sometimes you just have to go and do that. And so people get used to the idea, and then the next time it comes up seriously, they're comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that name Māori wards, because I say it does sound like a privilege if the rest of us don't have Pākehā wards.
Yeah, it needs to come with quite a complex explanation, because people say, "Oh, what about can we have Filipino wards as well?" And And what I come back to is...
it's a very much smaller proportion of the population.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong one to choose. And you could say Indian,
the two,
right?
The two main blocks are Māori and Pākehā.
Yeah.
You could say Filipino come into Pākehā. So.
Yeah. You could say Indian, perhaps, because there's quite a high proportion of the population is Indian there.
Well, no more than 10%. So
That's quite substantial. That's substantial, though.
It varies around the country. I'm not sure exactly what the population is in Raglan, but it's... probably well below that.
But the, I mean, the point of it from my perspective is to get good decision, getting good representation, a wide representation, a diversity of representation around the table, around the decision-making table, and yeah, just different perspectives, and then you can make better decisions.
Yeah, especially since there are quite significant areas that Māori own. So although Māori have lost a huge amount of land since settlement, well, they've lost... They had all the land when the first settlers came, and now they've only got, what, about 10%, I think, is it?
I don't know, it's a small amount. I thought it was 3%, yeah. But anyway.
You might be right.
It's an unjust situation, whichever way you look at it.
But it's still significant, especially in areas like this, which quite significant areas around Karioia still in Māori ownership.
Yeah.
So to have that representation on the council means that those landowners are represented, and the council can actually talk to those people more easily if it needs to do anything in those areas.
Yeah. I mean, I get why people look at it on face value and sort of have some questions, but ultimately we're talking about representative democracy and trying to get proper representation in. And the other thing too... as a Pākehā, like, I don't exactly feel threatened by two Māori councillors on the local council, like, at all. I don't feel even... It's ridiculous. It's absurd. I don't know why people get so upset about it, the people who do. It's completely unthreatening. And it's not about... And the other thing I just want to say, too, is about our political representatives, like it or not. It's not about being a meritocracy, about the best person for the job. It's about representing the people in the communities and... yeah, we've got to think.
Well,
we've got to remember that.
About the best person for the job getting it anyway. It tends to be the best known person rather than the best person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another thing. Okay, so all of that, John.
But we did have an interesting discussion also about the representation of Māori on the radio. So, and hopefully we might improve that. But
yeah, hopefully.
We'll
yeah.
see what comes of that.
Yeah. Many steps to be taken there. What else? Are we still on Future Proof? Is there much from this, John? I feel like I'm a bit of a haze. Like, they seem to be doing a lot of stuff, but it's not much to do with Raglan.
No, well, as I say, that applies to almost all the local government at the moment, that Raglan occasionally gets listed as one of the main towns in Waikato District. But that's the extent of the planning that goes into Raglan.
Jewel in the Crown, said the mayor when I last talked to her, and the previous mayor. Jewel in the Crown, they keep saying. Jewel in the Crown. Jewels need... No, I was gonna, I'm not going to say that. Yeah.
But they're looking at the crown rather than the jewels. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Great. Butter us up. All right, John, what else can we talk about?
I did suggest we might talk about history. And maybe look back a century.
Okay, well, we might take a break before we do that. But is there literally nothing else going on at council?
Well, there probably is, but I've not managed to find out anything about it. There was quite a major discussion at the last regional council meeting about Te Huia and the train service that goes up to Auckland.
Oh, yeah, there were people there.
So that's attracting their attention and not talking all that much about buses or anything else, but trains are their focus at the moment. Though they did talk about buses connecting with Te Huia, which if anyone who's tried to catch it at Hamilton or renamed Frankton Station has tried to catch a bus there, then they've found it only goes to the end of a long driveway. So there was talk of diverting some buses down there and saying we don't know whether it's feasible, which seems to be rather odd because it only takes a bus a minute or two to go down there and back to the driveway.
So the train station, I haven't been to it for years and years, the train station in Hamilton, you have to get off a road and just go down a long driveway?
Yeah, well, if you haven't been for years, maybe it used to be on the site where the bridge now goes over the railway.
Anyway, there's a big gap between the road and the building. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah.
And the buses don't go there?
Yeah.
That's just stupid, isn't it?
Well, there aren't many trains, so most buses would be wasting their time going down there.
Well, they could go in the half hour before the train leaves. Like, yeah,
well, that's what's now being suggested. But
it's all too hard.
It's a difficult thing to plan.
It's all too hard to think about when you're a person who drives a car. Okay. I'm going to have a break.
And they're also talking about charging senior citizens to travel on Tahuya, which they've been travelling for free up till now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's have a little break, John. We'll be back in a moment.